Good morning, welcome to Nachyami. Today we are going to be starting the very last of all the Nevi'im, and that is Sefer Malachi. Today we're going to be focusing on the introduction to this Sefer. Malachi is the 12th and last of the Trei Asar, of the 12 minor prophets. Minor in the sense that their prophecies were smaller than other than Nevi'im who we have recorded beforehand in Tanakh. And Malachi really is the last of the prophets also chronologically. We're going to see why in just a second. So just in terms of looking at the Sefer as an overall, we have three prakim, three chapters, 55 psukim, and seven naturally delineated paragraphs. The style of the book is very unique. Most of the prophecies have four stages in them, and that is that each paragraph has four steps. The first one is Malachi expressing something, an assumption, some idea, and then he allows the audience to question it. Well, Bameh, how is this true? Then he affirms and deepens that assumption in stage three, and finally either rebukes or promises something in the end. Now, in some places we'll see that some of these steps are shorter or longer. That seems to be the general style of the Sefer, which is a unique style to the Sefer of Malachi. Which leads us to the next question, and that is, who was Malachi exactly? When did he live? What are we supposed to be learning from Malachi? So who was Malachi is actually a matter of fascinating debate. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tes Vov Amud Aleph, actually presents a number of opinions. The opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha is Malachi Ze Ezra, that we're referring to Ezra HaSofer, the scribe Ezra, who was the spiritual leader of the Jewish people at the times of Nehemiah being the governor. We are going to get to that when we get to Ksuvim, God willing, and we learn Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah together. But Bir Zemei, it is the second wave of immigration from Pras, from Persia or Bavel, to the land of Israel. It is the second round of leaders after Yoshua ben Yehotzadak, who was the Kohen Gadol, and Zerubbabel, who is the political leader. We have Ezra and Nehemiah leading. So if that is Ezra, that means to say we're in the beginning of the Second Temple period. That's option number one. Then the Gemara goes on to say that V'chachovim Omrim Zmalachi Shemoi. No, he was an independent prophet, in an open canon way of looking at the Tanakh, which means to say that we're not identifying with somebody we already know, that maybe his own name was Malachi. And this seems to be the opinion which is adopted by most of the classic Mefarshim. So the Ibn Ezra, the Radak, the Rambam in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos, all say this idea that he is in fact an independent Navi whose name was Malachi, living around that same time. There is a interesting third opinion, that is the opinion of Rav Nachman in the Gemara, who says that, in fact, it refers to Mordechai. Mordechai, of course, was living during the same period of time, during the time of the reconstruction of the second base of Mikdash, and so it is potentially him as well, and the Gemara explains why it is linked to Mordechai. It is to be noted that there is a fourth option which exists, and that is that, fascinatingly, in the Greek translation of Tanakh called the Septuagint, which is often attributed to the Targum HaShivim, which was actually translated by the sages themselves when they were forced to by Ptolemy, the Greek king of the Egyptian area. It says that Malachi means Malachoi, he is the messenger of Hashem. So it might not be that we actually don't even know his name, it might be that he has an anonymous name. He's an anonymous prophet, but he's called the messenger, the agent of Hashem. The Abarbanel, actually, fascinatingly enough, does adopt this as a possibility, and he says that because he is the last of the prophets, maybe Hashem gave him the special appellation of Malachi, he's my messenger, he's my agent to convey the important things that all Jews need to hear at all times. So that's another possibility as well. When did he live? Well, it seems it really depends on who he was, but it seems that most of these opinions are really targeted around one time, and that's what the Gemara in Megillah Yud Zayin Amud Beis tells us, that he was actually a card-carrying member of this group called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, in lieu of kings, because we're not allowed to have kings, we have Persian subjects at this point in time. The leadership of Israel was led by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They were responsible for the construction of the Siddur, as we know it, the Amidah, the Brachos, many institutions in our regular life on a halachic level. They are the beginning speakers of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos. So he was one of those. However, that actually included 120 elders and ran from the times of Chagai until the times of Shimon HaTzadik, so it's not very specific. The Radak says that it's clear that he lives at the same time as Chagai and Zechariah, but just a little bit afterwards. And the reason is because he doesn't seem to be addressing the issues of building the Beis HaMikdash like Zechariah and like Haggai are. To be more specific, the Da'at Mikra, in his introduction, Rav Mordechai Zer Kavod, says that maybe he lived around 90 years after the first wave of Aliyah. In the first level of building, we have the Kohen Gadol, Yoshua ben Yatzadak, the Kohen Gadol, and we have Zerubbabel leading the first round. Then we have the second round, which is under Ezra and Nehemiah. But ultimately, it seems to be that it's towards the tail end of that. How do we know this? So the Rav Zer Kavod argues for four reasons. Number one is there's no mention of the rule of a scion of David, of the potentially somebody from the rule of the line of David HaMelech, which indicates that we've finished the period of Zerubbabel at this point in time. There's the hope that this could have been it at this point in time is over at this point in time. Number two is there's no mentioning of building the base of Mikdash, nor the wall of the base of Mikdash, which was one of the biggest projects of Nehemiah himself, implying that the wall is already finished. Number three, it sounds like the political control is the hands of a secular pecha. It sounds like the governor, the Persian governor, is not somebody we know. Therefore, it's already potentially towards at the end afterwards, after Nehemiah has already left, because he served as that pecha. And additionally, the spiritual control is in the hands of Kohanim. Doesn't sound like it's in the hands of a specific person like Ezra HaSofer himself. And finally, the last and fourth and last reason why is he says because if you look at the actual content of this, he complains. One of the things he complains about is the way that the Jews are giving ma'aser, how they are giving their tithes, and perhaps cheating the system, not trying to avoid giving their tithes in the correct way. And that is something that Nehemiah himself was concerned about, and Nehemiah himself instituted ways to assure that people would be giving to the Beis HaMikdash in the correct way. It may be that following the rule of Nehemiah, those ideas, those regulations were slacking, and that's why Malachi is picking up that slack to say this is not appropriate regarding the Beis HaMikdash. And if you actually look at the book itself in terms of theme and content, we're going to see, although it's a very short sefer, there are four main themes, and they are the beginning with Edom and the chosenness of Israel, the uniqueness of Israel. Number two is the Kohanim and their service in the Mikdash. Number three, intermarriage, which, by the way, links him to the issues that Nehemiah and Ezra were dealing with at the time. And number four is the Day of Hashem in the future. The Abarbanel points out that this is really all one theme, and that basically this is one prophecy in which Malachi is turning to the crowds and saying, you're not living up to the way you should be in the second Beis HaMikdash. Understand who you are, understand what you're doing wrong, and know that there is a judgment day in the future. Of course, it is very important for us to pay special attention to Malachi, because not only is this a nevuah which is recorded for all generations, which means it's relevant to us, but it is the last nevuah recorded for all generations. Yes, we have Ksuvim, we have the scriptures, we'll see how they are different in a moment from the actual Nevi'im, from the prophets. But he is the last recorded prophet, and therefore a lot of the things that he says are going to not just be overt through speakings to his generation, but perhaps resonating across all time, things that we need to understand, things that we need to perceive in order to be able to continue in an age and an era in which prophecy is no longer extant. This serves as the introduction. We'll start Perek Aleph tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.